reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first reading for this first Sunday after Christmas is found in the book of Exodus. It's page 71 in your pew Bibles. We read Exodus chapter 13, selected verses beginning with verse 1. This particular Old Testament reading has bearing on the rites that the parents of Jesus, Joseph and Mary, performed in the temple soon after his birth, one of them being the redemption of the firstborn. Reading at verse 1, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine.' Then Moses said to the people, 'Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery. For by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, you shall give it to you, and shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'By strong hand the Lord brought us up out of Egypt, from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem.' This is the word of the Lord." Our second reading is from Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3, found on page 1261, and we read Colossians 3, beginning at verse 12. "Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1096 in your pew Bibles, and we read Luke 2, beginning at verse 28.
2.
When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God, and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated as we continue with the creedal hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is taken from your gospel lesson. The Nunc Dimittis, as it's labeled in our liturgies, the Song of Simeon. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel. This is our text. One of the interesting aspects of our culture today is how separated we have become from death. Oh yes, we know it still takes place. But for many children growing up, the time of death is something that is far removed, something that may happen in your 70s, your 80s, or even 90s. Children rarely see it. Not just human death, but you know, we are a urban culture, not a rural culture anymore. And when it does take place, it's far removed from home life, usually taking place in an institution, a nursing home, or a hospital. And children, for the most part, usually aren't present. But for most of human history, in fact, till very recent human history, that wasn't the case. And just by way of example, I want to do a little test here to see how many of you in years past actually would have been here this morning. So let's say if you had an appendectomy before the age of, 40, raise your hands. Keep them up. How many of you had antibiotics before the age of 40? Put your hands up. Yeah, pneumonia, things like that. Dead. You know, attendance is kind of light this morning, but imagine what it would be like in most of human history. Because those things didn't exist. Antibiotics weren't invented until 1940. Even my own family, two of my mother's siblings, died before they were age 10. I'll bet with some of you, you have similar experiences. The reason people had lots of children when in days past is because a lot of them didn't survive into adulthood. And not only was death far more frequent, but we were far closer to it. This Christmas, as I was putting up Christmas lights, one of the things I do is I change over the lights on the front of my garage from, you know, normal white lights. And I changed them to some nice LED blue lights that I bought this year. You like them, huh? Well, as I was putting them up, my wife said to me, you know, your mother would have hated that. She despised blue lighting. When her mother died at age 40, visitations weren't held in funeral homes. They were held at home. The funeral home might have prepared the body, but it laid in state right in her one-room house. They had a little loft up above where the children slept. But the funeral home, in order to kind of, you know, set the mood, I guess they thought, they brought in some special lighting, blue lights, that shone on her mother as she laid open in the casket all night while they slept up above. She didn't like blue lights. But people were a lot closer to death in years past.
It was, if you will, a far larger issue in life. And even more so in the Jewish world. The rites that were performed for the child Jesus. After 31 days, you had to bring your firstborn son to the temple and perform for him a special rite. It was the redemption of your son. And when your children would someday ask you, oh, why do you do that? It's because God killed all the firstborn of Egypt and spared you. The firstborn of children belonged, if you will, to God. And so you would take him into the temple and you would find a priest, not necessarily the high priest, but there were lots of priests that would serve at the temple. And you would take your child to that priest, and there were certain phrases that you and the priest would say back and forth. And then, according to Scripture, you would pay him 5 shekels. It was about 2 silver coins. And in that way, you would buy your child back or redeem him. And while Scripture doesn't specifically identify Simeon as a priest, although there are some hints at that in our text, that's probably what he was. Devout man serving in the temple. And here comes another family with a newborn firstborn son. But he had been given a vision by God regarding his own death, that he would not see death before he saw his redemption. As Mary and Joseph come into the temple, thinking that they are going to, if you will, redeem their son, Simeon takes him up in his arms and begins to tell them that far from needing to redeem him, he is going to be their redemption. He is the one that is going to solve that age-old problem that ultimately we all must confront. And he's not just the salvation for Jewish people. He's the salvation that God prepared in the presence of all peoples. He is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and also the glory for the people of Israel. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your words, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Because we don't really focus on our ends that much anymore. We have become a culture much more focused on the here and now. We don't think much about the later. And it's really reflected when you think about it in every aspect of our life. I mean, how fast has our world become? We don't set a big pot of water, at least most of us, on a stove anymore and wait for it to warm up. We pop it in the microwave and boom, done. Same with a cup of soup. Everything is fast. Go out to eat. You don't even get out of your car. Quick, now. When do we think about later? But that is the real human problem. Our existence on this earth is going to come to an end. And what then? Much of the world isn't thinking about it at all, at least in our American culture. What we need, ultimately, is not just a quick fix for the daily problems we confront. We need a Savior from sin and from death. That is what Mary and Joseph brought to the temple. And that's what we celebrate when we gather together to worship. Death is part of our regular culture in worship. We gather before the foot of the cross, where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died to pay for our sins. And when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we're again reminded that He's a Savior from death. We eat His body and drink His blood, and it's separate because that blood was shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. And when our redemption is presented to us, following most of our celebrations of communion, we rise to sing that same song that Simeon sung so long ago. Our Lord has come to us. We have feasted upon Him. And then we join in the Nunc Dimittis, which means literally, Lord, now let us. And we join with Simeon in that song of everlasting praise. Lord, now You are letting Your servant depart in peace according to Your word. For my eyes have seen Your salvation that You have prepared in the presence of all peoples. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to Your people Israel. May God help us ever to be rightly focused, not just on the here and the now, but on the hereafter. To remember that the real human problem lies in sin and the death that it has brought into all of God's creation. But in a world that doesn't like to think about such things, we also need to be a reminder that life is more than just what we see here and what we experience now. There is an eternity. And the real human problem is not just what's going to happen at the next election cycle, not what's going on with your 401k, not what's going on with your little problems at work or at home, but ultimately the real human problem is sin. And there is a solution to sin and to death. It's in that little child that was once presented to Simeon, who later would go to the cross and ultimately rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, that He might prepare a place for us for all eternity. May God help us remain focused on Him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001, by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org. www.thehomeschoolmovement.org.